might have heard that the Metallica boys were gonna play some heavy shit tonight.
All right, welcome to another Metal Tales from the Road. I'm here with longtime listener, good friend of the show, Bob O'Rourke. How you doing? Thank you for joining us.
I'm very good. Thank you for having me, man.
It is the next morning after Metallica's surprise show at the Metro in Chicago. They've done these two pop-up club shows. Now, I'm what's considered a Metallica insider. It's just what's happened to me. I never thought it would happen, but it's happened. And yet, people like you knew about these shows even before me. My friends that I've met through the show seem to have more of an inside pulse on some of these things than me, because I was surprised about all this. And when I finally got tipped off, I reached out to you because I knew you lived in the Chicago area. And I said, hey, man, I don't know if you've heard this, but keep it on the down low. But if you can get down to the Metro, Metallica's playing a pop-up show. I'd love to have Metal Tales. You're like, yeah, dude, I've been in line. I'm like 13 in line. I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, cool. So let's start there, which, by the way, if you'd like to be on a future episode of Metal Tales, hop over to the Patreon. You can support the show. You get to do all sorts of fun shit, just like what we're doing right now. So I guess use your own discretion, Bob, but how did you learn of the show? What was the vibe like when you got down there? Were you one of the few? What's the deal?
Yeah, well, I guess everything kind of rewinds a little bit to Sunday. I was actually driving into the city with my wife, and I got a text saying, hey, are you going to be in Chicago either today or tomorrow? And, I was like, I'm actually on my way down there. So we get down there, and, a lot of people were asking about, oh, how did you find out about this? And, I just kept saying, there's a lot of canaries floating around, and to paraphrase Rocky. And, it's the Windy City, as they say. So, you know, word travels.
Right.
And it was like, all right, cool. I'm going to check this out. So drop my wife off and then drive up to the Lincoln Park area. And then I walk up, however many blocks it is through Wrigleyville up to the Metro. And I get there yesterday or Sunday, and, there's a tour bus there. So I'm like, ooh. And I walk up and the marquee says, Taking Back Sunday tonight, sold out. I'm like, okay. And I took a picture and put it on Instagram and was like, hashtag no fucker around. And then some people started to kind of like, oh, are you going to see Taking Back Sunday? I'm like, no, there's a rumor of somebody else playing. And some people started asking. I'm like, I should probably take that down just in case. I don't want to look foolish if this doesn't happen,
Yeah.
So took it down. And then, later on in the day, I got kind of confirmation that things were a go. And so I was like, all right, I can make this happen. So I pulled some strings, and technically I kind of wasn't supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to be home, not feeling well.
Yeah.
So I planned it all out. I went down, I left my house about 6 a.m. and, thinking that I was going to hit all the rush hour traffic, but surprisingly I didn't. And I got right into the city almost, within the hour. And as I cruised past the Metro, I saw the trucks out front, and I was like, okay, this is good. And I went to take a couple of pictures as I was driving by, but, don't do that at, be a safe driver. Mm-hmm. And I saw people lined up, and I was like, oh shit, people are already lined up. So I hurried up and parked at the garage near Wrigley Field, and then walked a couple blocks back up to the Metro. And, there were people from Shitalica already there.
Yeah.
And, a couple other people. And I think by that point around seven, it was probably just before 7:30-ish. I was probably number 13 or 14 in line, depending on how many people kind of came and went. And the cool thing about the Met fam is, we'll let people kind of jump in line, not to the crazy extent of 20 people coming, but like Rob Bradley, he came down and he messaged me, and, he arrived, but other people were kind of coming in droves. Like there was this whole crew from Boston behind us. And, you know, great, just great conversation with everybody. And people were still kind of, is this really happening? Is this, you know, because there was still no confirmation. And somebody from the Metro came out and actually moved us where we were starting to line up on, if you come out of the Metro front doors proper onto Clark Street, we were to the right. But then they were like, all right, we're going to move you guys up the street a little bit past the alleyway. So we went around Clark Street, around the corner to Racine, and I was sort of on the corner. And that's when more and more people started to show up, and they went all the way down Racine. And people from the Metro came out and said, you know, just a heads up, tonight's show, you know, have your ID ready. It's vax only. So have your vax card ready or a photo of your vax card. And, but again, nobody would confirm anything. And people were like, hey, what time do tickets go on sale? And this woman was, she was really coy about it. And it was kind of cute because she was like, I have no idea. If it is a particular band, I can't say because I really don't know. And, to be honest, I don't think the Metro crew knew until maybe the morning of that they were going to have Metallica there. They knew somebody was coming. I mean, the marquee actually said, I forget who's actually playing tonight. I think it is. But eventually they ended up taking that down, which was really cool. And I got some video of that.
You should have been the one guy online that was like, well, I hope it's Taking Back Sunday again.
Yeah, right.
I hope they just did so well.
Yeah, somebody said that technically I was the first person in line, but you know, cause I was there the day before, but I think the Shytalica guys were actually there at like 9 PM that Sunday night. So they, you know, they camped out all night.
What?
I
just wow.
Yeah, I couldn't do that, man. I mean, Chicago, yeah, you know, Wrigleyville is nice. It's kind of, you know, with Wrigley Field there and all the nice fancy hotels and restaurants and bars. But after a certain time, it gets a little sketchy, you know?
Yeah. Well, and you were able to get there the next morning and you still got the rail. So
yeah, dude. And that was kind of, you know, it was, I've waited outside for shows before, like, both nights at Madison Square Garden in 2009. And that was rough because of the rain, and it rained a little bit yesterday, but it was warm. And, you know, we had umbrellas and stuff and we had all of our, you know, gear, but, and we were under awning, so it wasn't that bad. The worst though was the Fillmore in 2011 for 30th anniversary night two, because that was cold December, San Francisco in the shade, not fun.
Yeah.
But this didn't even feel like it was that long. It was more, we were waiting until, we had an official confirmation. I think Metallica.com had put something up and then quickly took it down because I think they said like, oh, tickets are on sale now, and they weren't on sale yet. And it was just like the San Francisco show, you know, the tickets went on sale at, I believe it was around 1 p.m. ish. So not quite like the San Francisco show, but I think that was two. Tickets went on sale and it was $20 cash only. Again, show your vax, you know, proof and all that stuff. And you would get a wristband and then come back when doors opened. And then, you know, then the show would start at approximate time. And, you know, that was that. But then, you know, they kind of moved us around a little bit. And then as we were getting closer to, like I said, I think it was 1 o'clock when finally the tickets went on sale and people kind of came and were like, all right, make sure you have your IDs. And I think actually, wait, rewind a little bit. While we were still in line, we saw the trucks open up and we started to see the road cases come out. And a bunch of us ran up there to take pictures. And I sent you a couple of pictures and was like, all right, we have a show. You know, when we started seeing those glorious Metallica road cases.
Those and, like the Binge and Purge era kind of white road cases.
Oh, dude, it was the Binge and Purge ones. We saw ones with the skull with the wing.
Yeah, the Death Magnetic
ones. There was one that had, yeah, the Death Magnetic one. And then there was one that had sort of the Black Album logo with the sort of 3D logo, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we started to see their crew guys. We started to see Zach. Like, I was walking up. I went down to the McDonald's a few blocks to use the bathroom and get a quite quick snack. And I see Zach. And I walked by. And then I went back. And I was like, hey, Zach. And he looked up. Like, he was like, eh. And I'm like, cheers. You know, and just kept walking.
Mm-hmm.
We saw when they were taking the stuff out of the trucks. I saw Justin Kirk's tech. And then I saw Chad Z as well and said hello to him as he was walking by. And, you know, everything went very smooth. Like what they did was they finally lined us up when tickets were on sale And they were like, we're going to let you in at like 10 people at a time. You go in. And they had checked our vax cards on the way up before we went in, and then gave us like a little hand stamp of like a little Band-Aid with the Metro logo, so that that way we didn't have to pull anything out again. And that was easy. Get in there, $20. I walked up to the table and I'm like, crisp $20 bill. I'm like, I'll take your finest wristband. And they're like, over there. I'm like, all right, cool. And they put it on. They put it on really tight. So basically, you know, if you take it off, you're fucked. And then the cool thing was, right when you were done there, you go into the merch side of the Metro, and that's where they had the shirt available.
That shirt is sick, a Squindo shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking that it was going to be just like the San Francisco show with like a similar back, you know, as well. But when I saw the back, and I didn't even realize it said Metro up your ass, I was like, oof, man, that's yeah. a sick shirt. And it's like, I had to get two just to have a backup in case, you know, because it's such a cool shirt.
Yeah.
But they even said, they were like, you can buy as many as you like. And I was like, okay. And they're like, just don't go sell them outside. That would upset Metallica. And I'm like, yeah. I was like, you know, but, and the other thing too, and I know you guys are going to play at the Metro soon.
Mm-hmm.
The crew and the staff there, wonderful people. I have nothing but amazing words to say about every single one of them, from the people guarding the alleyway for the back door, to the people working the front door, to the people searching, and especially the two guys that were on my side up front working the barricade. They were amazing. They took care of us. They looked out for us. They thanked us every time somebody would crowd surf over our heads for not dropping that person. And then after the show, the one guy said, you know, give yourselves a round of applause. You guys were awesome. And I was like, no, thank you, man, for taking care of us, you know?
Yeah. It makes a big difference in keeping everyone safe and keeping the mood good too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the mood was amazing. I mean, it was electric. I mean, to really kind of be cliched, but, so basically what the word was, okay, you get your wristband, leave the premises, and then come back at 6 o'clock to line up. And I started to think of James and Life Ship Binge and Purge San Diego. It's like, oh, you got your little seat there, your little number, you know, you can kind of hang out in the vicinity of your seat. So I was like, well, I'm not leaving the area. I'm not going to leave the neighborhood, because who knows when people are actually going to start lining up.
Right.
And so, you know, I went down again. I think I went down to use the bathroom at McDonald's again. And actually, if anybody's in Chicago and Wrigleyville, if you go into that McDonald's, the bathroom is locked and they have code, but the code is on your receipt. So if you just go buy water, you have your receipt, you have your code, and it doesn't change all day. So if you remember the code, you can go back in or take a picture of it, go back in as you like. You know,
that's what we call a Chicago life hack right there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So did you talk? Were you talking to the Chitalica crew? Which, shout out to them. I know they're very dedicated over there. Because I would have been really anxious about all that too. Like, I'd never feel good until I'm like in my spot at the show. And so, right. I mean, I would have been tempted to just like stay by the Metro. Yeah. Like just to stay there until six.
Yeah. I mean, it made sense. So it was like, all right, we're going to hang out. Well, I went back to my car and dropped off my shirts, which that was really cool, because I didn't have to have these shirts all night and worry about losing them or getting them, you know, destroyed with sweat or whatever.
Was there a poster or anything? What was the poster sitch?
Yeah, there was a poster that was available once we finally went inside, and you could either go to the left and go get the poster or go to the right and go upstairs and go to the rail. And I'm like, I'm going to the rail. And fast forward a little bit, when I saw the picture of the poster.
No good. Not for you. Not your thing.
It had a screaming cat on it. Like an actual, like cat, like a calico cat or a tiger cat, like doing meow. And it was like, what does it have to do with Metallica or the Metro?
Yeah, they should have put Tony's thing on a poster.
Yeah, I know, that's what I thought it was going to be. And I mean, his, especially for the Metro, was, I was like, this artwork's incredible, you know?
Yeah.
But when I saw that poster, I was like, glad I went for the rail. And I guess they were priced at $45, and I think it was one person or one poster per person. So that would kind of cut down on the sort of the S&M2 situation with the dude showing up buying 30 posters. So anyway, we went back in line, and we were kind of, you know, me and Rob Bradley were sort of hanging out, and there was a few people. And dude, if any of these guys are listening, I apologize, because when it's Metallica time, and especially the first time after you know, the last time I saw them was Milwaukee in 2018. Mm-hmm. The real time, I mean, not counting the
pandemic stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Because even the Insanity Palace of Metallica doesn't count that as an official show. But I'm like, whatever. Technically, it is. So I would meet people, and I don't remember people's names. I'm really bad at that. There was a lot of people from the Metallica forums who were coming up and saying hello, and people that kind of knew me, and they're like, oh, you're Ferox on there? I'm like, yeah, hey, what's up? You know, and so other people were sort of milling about. There was a dude named Moose who was super cool. He lived around the corner. And I thought he actually worked for the Metro, because when I first saw him, he had a Metro t-shirt on. But then he came back in a change of uniform, and I was like, oh, he's just one of us hanging out. Okay, cool. Chill with us. And then this other dude named Dave, who apparently posts on the forums too, he was super cool. And so we sort of had our... I sound like Lars right now doing all these ums. but, you know, we sort of had our little group, and we were up front, basically. I mean, there was like two, three people in front of me at the sort of edge of the alleyway. And that's kind of where we were. And this was even well before 6 o'clock. We were just like, we're going to stay here, and we're not on the property. We're just in the vicinity. And it worked out. And then very slowly, more and more people started to show up behind us. And the line went around the block. Actually, again, rewind quickly. Once they did everything went on sale, after we got our wristbands, we walked down the street, and there was this huge line that started quite a few doors down by Yoxie's, which is a comedy club. And we're like, what is this? What, is somebody at the comedy club? Or, no, that's the line for the Metallica tickets. And we're like, and it literally went around the entire block. And we're like, yeah, good luck getting in, because that ain't happening. But they also opened up the merch for anybody. So people were showing up and just, you know, getting shirts and probably trying to flip them, you know.
So at that point, when you found your crew and you're kind of at that point in line, you see the people lining up around you, you're feeling probably pretty good.
Yeah,
you probably start to relax. And at that point, I mean, how many hours have you logged?
So if I mean, 7:30, and this was probably going on 3-ish,
yeah,
3-4, and you know, the sun wasn't in our way. We were right by one of the upstaging trucks, so we were kind of blocked from the rest of the Clark Street traffic. But people would walk by and go, who's playing, you know, and they see all the Metallica shirts, and you know, then other people are like, really, how'd you know? Or tickets on sale? Like, no, I think it's sold out, because again, Metallica.com put up a story but then took it down. And I never saw it actually go back up, but on the Instagrams and stuff, people were, I think Metallica had put something out, and similar to the San Francisco show, they put they crossed everything out, sold out eventually when it was sold out. And they also had, we got the texts, you know, mm-hmm. from the Metallica text line. And I had actually texted them on Sunday and sent the picture of me, you know, no fucker around, but they didn't respond. Mm-hmm. So today or yesterday, I did the same thing when I got there. I was like, hey, I was like, some fuckers around, you know? And when they finally announced the show, and I was like, I'm here, I'm already in line. And then they responded, hey, have fun, bro. I'm like, cool. And then, but they sent the same response to, I think Rob got it too. I was like, all right, whatever. It's
great.
It's good. It's fun.
Yeah. And it's a cool, cool thing they're doing. You know, they're doing it as good as you can with that. Someone had an idea. It was like, why don't we try to have like a text relationship that's not totally automated? Mm-hmm. They are responding to people, but yeah, that's they're doing the best they can with that. It's cool. I got a birthday message. It was nice.
Nice.
You know, shit like that.
When they first started it, it was like a super, super cold day up mm-hmm. here. And I'm north of Chicago, like up in the suburbs, sort of almost in Wisconsin. And we had this super, 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 super cold day. And like they were advising people to stay home. They're like, you know, stay home from work, take the day off. Don't even bother going out. So if you go outside, you're going to like literally get frostbite like that. And Metallica had texted something out. And I was like, yeah, I'm up here in cold as fuck, North Chicago, where we got this thing going on. And they're like, stay warm, bro. And I was like, all right, cool. Thanks.
Yeah, there we go. That's not a little touch. Little touch about the weather. Yeah, a little small talk about Chef's the weather kiss. With Metallica. How about that?
Exactly.
So let's get into the rail vibe. Let's get into set list. I have not seen the set list. I was really hoping they would play something different than San Francisco. Not that I didn't like San Francisco, but I was hoping it wouldn't just be another version of that. So I've been told the set list is rad. So
yeah, it was tight. So, you know, again, we lined up and it felt like they let us in just after 6 o'clock, I think it was. And I mean, I had all my shit in my hands. I had my phone. I had a charger hooked up to it. I had my wallet. I had my key ring. I had my dad's dog tags on me too. It was like a sort of good luck thing. And I had all the shit in my hands, so I was ready for them to search me. They did the wand, and it was still that nervousness of like, am I gonna make it? Am I gonna make it up front? And because there was, by then, I was probably maybe sixth or seventh in line. Because more people had sort of come, and we kind of, you know, you get the merging of traffic. You know, it's like stay in this line, but other people that think they were up front decide to be on this side, and we kind of merge into one. But I was also trying to hide from the news cameras, which was a running joke with everybody around me.
Because yeah, you had a bit of a Ferris Bueller's Day Off vibe.
Yeah. I was ducking down. I would turn my back when the camera would be there talking to somebody. So I was hiding in front of the Metro and behind this big dude. And as we went in, you know, I kind of get in, and again, they split the lines up, ladies here, men here. And again, people went for the posters. So I just, you know, and again, it was like, I haven't been to a real show in so long. I'm forgetting what I'm supposed to do. And going up the stairs in the Metro, I'm like, well, my legs are a little wobbly from standing all day. But I get up there and I see the stage and I'm like, holy shit. And I see some of my friends that were there that are right in front of James's mic, and I run right up and I'm like, I'll take this spot. And I mean, you saw the photo. I was just to James's right. So like in his eyesight, and I freaked out. I was like, I'm freaking out that I'm this close. Like I've been in the snake pit. I've been on the rail at a bunch of shows, but this felt even more close because the barricade walkway area was basically one person wide, you know, one person deep, and the stage is probably chest high, you know. The bottom lounge in Chicago, that's probably waist high, and there's no barricade there, and that's a killer place to see a band. I saw Newstead there, sick show, by the way. But this, I was just like, holy shit. Like, I mean, we could almost reach out and touch the monitors because we were that close, and we could see the GoPros that they had set up to, you know, film and take photos with. And it was just, holy shit, we're here. This is happening. And I had been to, the last time I went to the Metro was in 2016 to see a couple bands. This band Judge, which is a New York hardcore band. Ethan probably has heard of them. Mm-hmm. And H2O was on that bill too. But I watched that from up in the balcony, which is a totally different vibe. And being down there, I was like, holy shit, this is a big room, but it's a small room. It felt really intimate. Mm-hmm. And again, we could see the techs on the sides. We could see Chad just to our left, you know, tuning Hetfield's guitars, and we could see his little workstation, and he was pouring Hetfield's tea for him and having that there. And then off to the right was Justin sitting there with Kirk's effects board. And I was like, and a folding chair. We're like, are we going to watch Justin sit there and hit all the buttons, you know, all night?
Wow.
And I mean, that's what it was. And the fade to black mic stand was right there on the side. I was like, holy fuck. And then Zach is right there too, just sort of a little bit deeper in the stage with his little corner. And we're seeing them kind of come and move, and just like, holy shit, is this happening? And obviously there was no opener, but it felt like we were there for at least 90 minutes before the show actually started.
Yeah,
and I think they were running a little late because I want to say it was supposed to be 8:30, but it didn't start at 8:30. And 8:45 rolls around. I'm texting my wife, sending her photos, saying maybe it's 8:45, you know. And she's like, "Come on, guys!" And I'm like, "Maybe they're working on a new song. Maybe, I don't know." But again, manage your expectations. So it's probably around 9:50 when they finally. When the music stopped, and it was, I think one of the last songs they played over the PA was Welcome to the Jungle, Back in Black, something like that. And, or no, Highway to Hell. Mm-hmm. So no AC/DC tape, you know, it's a long way to the top. And lights go down, Ecstasy of Gold starts up, and it's on, man. We're in it. And everybody's singing along. It felt like, you know, I don't want to piss on San Francisco because San Francisco is Metallica's hometown, but Chicago does it proper, and it felt like everybody was singing along to Ecstasy of Gold. It felt like a stadium show almost.
The crowd, for the few videos that I saw of the crowd in San Francisco, they actually seemed a little mellow.
Yeah, people were saying that there weren't actually a lot of foreign users there either, that it was like two people from the boards there, and here I think there's maybe people that I talked to, maybe 10, you know, here and there. But I mean, people were hardcore, ready for the show. And, you know, one by one, we start seeing the guitars come out, and we're like, oh shit, Chad's over there with James's V and the white V. Justin's over there with Kirk's guitar. I can't remember what he started with. And of course, you know, Zach is there with one of Robert's basses. And as it was coming up, it's like, holy shit. Kirk runs out, runs across the stage, dressed pretty much the same way he was in San Francisco with those interesting jeans with the stars on them. Mm-hmm. My wife is like, oh, he had my favorite jeans on again, you know? And I'm like, yeah, that's like $1,000 pair of jeans there.
Yeah.
Robert comes out. Robert wasn't wearing the jacket like he had in San Francisco. And then, you know, comes out and Lars is behind his kit. And it was just like, fuck. And they're right in front of us. And I'm just like, holy shit. And Lars gets back there and starts up Whiplash. And I was like, holy shit. And seeing Whiplash as an opener, it's incredible.
Yeah, it's fun.
It really is. And James right in front of us, I mean, dude, he looked, first off, they all looked like they were having the time of their lives. They really did. They were having a blast and it showed. And we were feeding off of them. They were feeding off of us, that typical Metallica thing. And as soon as they kicked into Whiplash proper, everybody went fucking ape shit, singing along. Obviously, you can hear my throat is thrashed. Mm-hmm. But I think even the band were just like, holy shit, this is incredible. And side note, I saw Lars's Instagram today. He said that last night he posted a video where he said this is probably the hottest show that they've ever played. At least his memory. And it was hot in there. They didn't have to, you know, they did quite a few wardrobe changes. You know, Kirk changed shirts a couple of times. I don't think James did or Robert did, but Kirk did for sure. So we get Whiplash, went over incredible, right into Ride the Lightning, which Ride the Lightning rules.
Yeah.
I'll never not want to hear that song live.
Same.
They were on, to my ears, they sounded great. I'm not a musician, so there's certain things that go over my head when somebody's out of tune. Maybe Kirk sounded a little, like, I know people say Kirk's clean tone is a little kind of eh, you know, these days, mm-hmm. which something did sound weird with it, but again, he was on the other side, and I literally, my James's monitors were right in front of me, so a lot of the sound was his guitars and vocals, but it sounded great to me. Lars was in the pocket again. He was very Whiplash was sort of the same tempo as San Francisco, almost like the 96 kind of era where it was sort of laid back a little. He seemed like he was having a blast back there though. So Ride the Lightning into Harvester of Sorrow.
Awesome.
And by that point, that was like, all right, I'm not going to take a lot of photos or a lot of video, but you know, because especially with James right in front of me, I didn't want to look like that guy and take pictures, you know, and have him get sort of, you know, I don't want to hang out here, you know. So I took a couple quick snapshots here, and Harvester was amazing. It crushed. Everybody was singing along to that. Right into Cyanide.
Oh, and Cyanide.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Cyanide was fun because, you know, we had heard in line that they had sound checked Harvester and Cyanide, and I guess one of my bathroom trips, I missed them arrive and go in for sound check. And I guess when they went in for sound check, Robert actually had his bass, and somebody was like, yeah, Robert showed up and got out of the Escalade with his bass like a gangster, you know, walked in. But people could hear them, you know, doing the sound check. So I was like, all right, that's cool. And I was excited to hear those songs. Some people were like, eh, I could do without Cyanide. I'm like, dude, Cyanide rules, you know? And then after that, James was like, all right, we're going to play something fast. So I'm like, all right, what do you got? And they kind of did that sort of hang thing that they did on the Worldwide tour, that where James would go, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then right into Through the Never.
Yes.
And I was stoked because I'd been wanting to hear that song forever, basically. So it killed me on the last tour when the one show I get, they didn't play it, you know.
Right.
Through the Never ruled again. Robert's just to the left here, so him doing the backups and stuff, and you know, we're just going at it, just singing along, pumping, you know, horns blasting, all that fun stuff. And after that, lights are down, get the intro tape for One, get the, you know, all the sound effects and explosions and stuff. And One is one of those songs that, you know, if I was going to take video, I would probably do it during One, because, you know, it's One, but it's an amazing song. But really, with James right in front of me, I was watching him just strum through the song, like during the, like right before the bridge, or right after the bridge, right before the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Just watching him go bling, 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 like with no effort.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, this dude could do this shit in his sleep. And I was amazed seeing it that close. Like, holy shit, watch his fingers do that. And I'm like hearing the notes as he's going, blah, blah. I'm like, this is incredible. This is just fucking bonkers, you know? But again, One killed it. It sounded awesome. Then I look over and I see Justin getting one of Kirk's Randy Rhodes V's. So I'm like, all right, we're getting heavy next, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, you know, Chad has the camo snake bite for James. James comes up, and so I was waiting for, you know, the question, do you want heavy?
Mm-hmm.
And he actually did sort of a throwback to the St. Anger tour, with where he just started singing, I'm your dream, make you real, you know, and then we finished the chorus and then right into Sabbath True, and it crushed. I mean, Sabbath True, it's probably one of my favorite songs on the Black Album. Yep. And there was a funny moment during the solo. Kirk was right in front of us, and he's, you know, James's mic is here and Kirk's right over here, right in front of us doing his thing. James walks up for the final verse and Kirk's still there. And he kind of like nudges his way behind him and starts singing. And Kirk's like, oh, you know, and gets out of the way. And it was just funny. It was just, you could see that I was like, dude, these are the same guys from that NET3 footage and Cliff 'Em All and the Kill 'Em All box set. I was like, this is incredible. They're at the fucking Metro again after 38 years. Just mind blowing.
Yeah. So some of us were joking about Kirk's probably not going to be handing off Greeny into the crowd the way he did with that V in the original Metro video, where the crowd takes his guitar, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. My buddy next to me, we were like, dude, we should have, if I knew I was going to get this spot, I would have went to a record store and brought a Kill 'Em All vinyl to throw on stage.
Yeah.
Then James would be like, what the fuck is this? I don't know. What do you want? And Lars, of course, would remember it, but James would be like, what the hell are you doing with this shit? You know, what throwing shit on stage for? Then we go into Moth into Flame.
Awesome.
And yeah, Moth ruled. For me, it was like I hadn't heard Moth in a long time. Like, I haven't even listened to Hardwired in a while because I've been so immersed in the Black Album deluxe set, you know? So I was kind of flubbing a couple of words here and there, but I was just like, man, I'm having a fucking blast. It was hot and sweaty and Moth into Flame, you know? And then James switches his guitar. He was using the white snake bite for that, and then he switches back to the Ken Lawrence and goes back by the cab heads at the back of the stage, and he just launches into Sanitarium without the actual intro. And it was like, oh, and we were, of course, everybody there was yelling for Fixer quite loudly. And at one point, James even walked up to the mic and was like, what? And we were like, Fixer! And I thought we were going to get it, but then I think it was probably before this, because then he goes back and then starts Sanitarium. So that was great. And everybody at the end, you know, doing the haze, you know, I mean, even Robert was doing it. It was rad.
Yeah.
Then Robert comes up in front of us and puts his foot up on the monitor. I'm like, all right, I know what we're getting now. You know, we're getting some Bells here. And sure enough, he's doing the intro to Bells right in front of me. It's like, oh, awesome. You know, and again, Bells killed it. And Lars was, you know, jumping up at the end, like he normally does. Kirk was on fire, man. He looked like he was on another planet, like as a guitar player, as a performer. If you look at some of the footage from San Francisco, he's really dancing around and having a good time. And, you know, his legs are like totally spread, like he's almost doing a split kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And on Bells, him and Robert sort of did their fun, you know, little chase thing with the crab walk.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, when they were right in front of the drum kit doing that, it looked like Kirk even sort of laid his head on Robert's back as they were squatting down like that. And at the end of the song, you know, the blinded eyes to see, Kirk was like this. He's like kind of like Seattle 89. Like his hands were on his eyes, like, you know,
getting into it.
Nuts. Yeah, it was awesome to see. And he's sweating. His hair is already soaked. The other dudes are sweating their balls off too. So we get bells, you know, and then James switches back to the white V, and I'm like, all right, what are we getting? And I keep looking over because I keep looking at that fade mic, and I'm like, oh, we're going to get that, you know, and I'm watching Chad, you know, tune up the other guitars. So I'm like, all right, what's coming next? I'm looking, trying to figure out by the guitars. So the V comes out, and I'm like, I don't know what we're getting. And Lars sort of does this little weird drum beat, and I'm like, what the hell are they doing? Is this a new jam? And, you know, because I didn't see or listen to a lot of shows from the 2019 European tour, but they did this, and then it made sense once they kicked into Whiskey in the Jar.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, dude, and that was fun. That was, you know, to be honest with you, and I don't mean to bring things down right now, but between Whiskey and Fade, those two songs were a little emotional for me because back in April, my dad passed away, and it was really heavy. And the night that he passed, my mom, you know, obviously was, you know, sort of, she threw back a bottle of whiskey with my wife. And she was like, my mom's like, I want to listen to Metallica. I want to, you know, and I was like, sure, mom. So I put on Whiskey in the Jar, came on while we were having our sort of moment that night. And so it's especially the daddy-o part, you know.
Yeah.
It's really deep with me.
Yeah.
So that was emotional, but it was awesome. Everybody was singing along, the whole crowd. I mean, we're singing the musical parts, just going off. And then after that, Chad comes out and puts the Fade mic stand right in front of me. And I'm just like, okay, this is it. And obviously, like I was saying, with everything that's happened this year for me, Fade is really, really heavy for me. And I'm not afraid to admit it. I lost it, man. I was sobbing. I was crying. But it felt good. It felt good to get it out and scream along to the words. And, you know, just, again, that energy coming back and forth, just it's cathartic. It yeah. really is. I needed that. And Fade was just off the hook. The band sounded on fire again. They were doing after the final chorus, you know, we're all doing the whoa, 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 and it felt like we were doing that for God through the end of the song, you know. Mm-hmm. And then so we get Fade right into Master of Puppets.
Killer.
And Master of Puppets was lit, dude. I mean, it's Master of Puppets. You can't go wrong with it.
No problem.
Yeah, and singing along to every word, and again during the solo, James is dead in front of me, and I'm just like, oh, man, I can't believe I'm seeing it this close. I had seen him do that one of the first times I was on the rail in 04 in New Jersey. We had a little sign, you know, said "In Jersey for All," says it's Aloha Friday, you know.
Yep.
And James was right in front of me during that part, and he was talking to me. He's like from Jersey, and I'm like, yeah. And he had fucked up a note, and I laughed at him. I was like, oh, you fucked up, because he was like, that was shit. But here he was on par, man. It was just like, holy fuck, Master of Puppets. And so that finished the main sort of part of the set, and they thanked everybody, you know, thanks for coming out. And you could see that they were really, really, really grateful that we were there. To see them and to share that experience again after so long. And at one point, James even asked us, he was like, hey, he's like, did you guys have to practice at all of what to do at shows anymore? You know, and I'm like holding up. I'm like, eh, a little bit, you know, get the rust off, you know. So they leave the stage, and everybody's clapping, everybody's encore, and I was like, we're getting an encore, settle down. And they come back out. And in San Francisco, they did Battery, and I didn't watch any video of that, so I didn't know if they had an intro tape for it or what. So I was kind of like, all right, what's going on? And I think James had the white V again, so I was like, all right, so what are we going to get, Black End, Damage Incorporated? I don't know, you know? And I was even thinking Fight Fire with Fire for a split second. Lars gets back on the kit, and they go right into Hardwired without the intro tape.
So right.
Right in. And man, it sounded good. It sounded so just a good kick in the nuts, you know?
Yep.
And after that, James is right in front of us again, and he really didn't move to the other mics. He pretty much stayed on that main mic the whole night, aside from Fade with the other mic. Then he's like right in front of us, and he goes like this. He's like pointing to his temple, and he goes, "Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which on his arm."
Love it.
And it was like, yeah. And fuel was it's weird having it that late in the set after being in that crowd for so long and having being crushed from people and. You know, the sweatiness and just, I mean, it was a pit from hell, you know. Mm-hmm. Fuel was like an instant shot of adrenaline. It was like we were off to the races again. It felt great. Everybody was going fucking bonkers again, singing along. And once Fuel was done, you know, it was kind of, we're at the end of the show and James was like, "You guys want one more?" And we're like, "Yeah, man, of course we want one more." We're yelling. And he's looking at us on the rail, and he's like, "All right, which one of you is the spokesperson?" You know, because we were all yelling. You know, people are yelling, "Fixer!"
Yeah.
And then he kind of cracked himself up, and he's like, "I'm the spokesperson." And then he says, "If I say seek," and we're like, "Yeah," and destroy. And he's like, "No, that's not good." So he does it again, and we reply much louder, and then boom, we were off on seek. And seek as a closer. You know, I think everybody got fatigued from 2004 on to whenever they stopped doing it as the closer, you know?
Yeah.
But, dude, it worked here. It was awesome. I mean, starting and ending with Kill 'Em All in a place where they played on the Kill 'Em All tour, a legendary show that they played in the Kill 'Em All tour, was phenomenal. I mean, I'm surprised I have a voice, to be honest. And then after the show, you know, they were throwing out picks. I didn't see the camo picks. It was just white fangs that James had. And a couple of the Kirk Jazz picks were up there, the little green ones, and they threw those out. I almost had a pick, but it was so hard to see them as they went over because, of course, they're the white ones, the white fangs. So I didn't get any picks. And then Lars comes out, and he had two drumsticks, and he threw one to the side, and then he comes almost like literally right over to me, and I'm like, "Yeah, man." I'm like, "Motherfucker, me." And he, I guess because of COVID, he wasn't actually handing them. He just kind of flips it, and of course the dude next to me grabs it. I'm like, or no, he almost had it, but it dropped on the floor. And again, the security, they were like, "Dude, we'll get your stuff once the show's over, don't worry." And he points to my buddy, he's like, "I got you." So he's like, "All right, cool." And then James was behind Lars as he was doing his sort of spiel at the end of the show, and I don't remember what he said because I was too busy trying to find picks and sticks, you know. But he was up there doing his thing on the mic. And James comes up behind him with a drumstick, and he's poking him in the ass, you know, and he's like poking him and then pretending he's sticking it down the back of his pants. And he's like, "Ooh." And then he threw it again right to me. But then my buddy on my left got it, and I was like, "Fuck." But it was all good. It was all good. And same thing with the set list. You know, they didn't hand out the set lists, but Justin actually came over and was basically going across the entire front of the stage handing out the set list to people. So that was cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But dude, phenomenal show. It felt right that this was like, because I was like, "Man, I'm going to Louder Than Life, but I'm not even going to try for rail at that show. I'm going to be with my wife. We're going to hang back. We're going to enjoy the bands, have a good time." This was like, "All right, I need to get up front and get killed," basically. And that's what happened.
It's an amazing story, dude. If I can't be there, at least I can hear about it from someone I respect and know. Because that's the thing, too, is like, I'm just so glad so many of the diehards got to do it, you know, which that's kind of the point of these shows. But hearing that there weren't that many foreign members in San Francisco, you know, you never know. I like hearing that people who could really appreciate it got to really get a taste of it at that level.
And the one quick thing, too, about the Met fam, you know, everybody, we take care of each other. And, you know, whether it's holding a spot in line, if somebody needs to have a piss break or come eat, "Yeah, we got your spot, dude. Come back," you know?
Yeah.
Or if somebody needs to have a wardrobe change because we've been standing outside all fucking day and we're hot and sweaty, you know? But there were a couple of people that came up asking for wristbands that didn't have them, you know? And they were like, "Is that the wristband?" And we're like, "Yeah." And they offered my friend Rob $2,000 on the spot. And he's like, "Whoa." "Nope." And this girl, she was kind of making me nervous because she seemed like she was going to run up and maybe rip it off of somebody. But she was, her and her, I don't know if he was her boyfriend or her friend or whatever, but they were hanging out all day with us, even while we were lined up to finally get in, trying on the radio, you know, they were listening to 95.5, the Chicago rock station, for a chance to win tickets, win a wristband. And we were trying to help them, like, because they were having a contest, like, you know, name the riff. And what they would do is speed the song up. And we're just like, what the fuck song is that? We can't even tell. And I don't even remember what it was. But these poor kids were up there the whole time trying desperately to win wristbands. And I don't think they got in,
boo,
unfortunately. And I think even Sarah and Pete were coming too.
Yeah.
And I don't think they got in as well. It was, right, it was a bummer because, you know, it was like, once we got inside, it was like, I'm sorry, all bets are off. I can't find anybody. I'm, you know, kind of, you know, I don't know how many people deep. I mean, the place filled up fast.
The good news about Sarah and Pete is, you know, they've been on that ride before. So they knew what was at stake. They knew they might not make it. And they're some of the, yeah, coolest, most positive people ever. I'm sure they were glad for people like you who actually were in there. I actually know that for a fact.
Hell, so, yeah.
I know we both got to run. Yeah. Thank you for taking the time after a crazy night to tell us your story and telling all the Metal Up Your Podcast listeners your story. You've been a patron for a long time, a good friend of the show. Ordinarily, you and I would stay on for another 90 minutes and talk about horror films.
Talking about horror movies.
But we'll have to save that for another day, unfortunately. So I hope you enjoy your day, dude. I hope you were able to bask in knowing that you were at a now legendary Metallica show.
All right. Yeah, cheers, man.
Hey, everyone. Clint and Ethan here, and we want to tell you about a little thing called Patreon. Patreon is an easy and interactive way to support the people who make the things that you love.
For as little as $5 a month, you can ensure that Metal Up Your Podcast can continue to grow in quality and content. That's equivalent to a cup of coffee or a beer once a month.
Not only is it easy and affordable, but we've made it a priority since day one to give back to our Patreon community. We've given away deluxe box sets, rare vinyl, Black and Whiskey,
concert tickets to S&M2 and Slain Castle,
all four of our Cover Our World Black and EPs, 26 quarantine covers, and Lunar Satan demos,
invitations to exclusive Zoom happy hours, the ability to ask our guests like Jay Weinberg of Slipknot, Lizzie Hale, and members of the Metallica crew your very own questions,
and eligibility for our Metal Tales series, where you can be a guest on Metal Up Your Podcast and tell us all about a notable Metallica show you've been to.
Subscribe to Patreon today and immediately get access to years worth of bonus content.
Thank you for supporting the people who make the things that you love. Peace.
Adios.
I can't talk about it anymore. It's giving me a headache.
Here, take two of these.
Ah, Nuprin. Little. Yellow. Different.